Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." Oh, how this text must have crushed James when he read the Gospel of Matthew for himself, as he remembered that he was among those who did not believe in Jesus at first. But can you blame him? Think about it for just a second. Put yourself in James and Joseph's shoes, in Jesus' sister's shoes. Imagine if you woke up this morning to find out that your brother was the Messiah. That might, well, shock you a little bit. Think about it. Growing up in the same house with the Messiah and yet not fully understanding it, even though Mary had had such a witness given to her by the angels and Joseph as well, it seems that they all didn't quite catch who Jesus was as he grew up. And so today, we commemorate the festival of St. James, James of Jerusalem, brother of Jesus and martyr. And we have to probably deal with the two elephants in the room off the bat. The first elephant is that Jesus had brothers and sisters. As many in Christendom, including some in Lutheranism, believe that Mary was Semper Virgo, that is, always a virgin. But if you look at the text that we'll look at today, well, you really can't hold that position very long, not without having to do some mental gymnastics that really doesn't make a lot of sense. The second issue we have to deal with is the fact that Jesus' own family didn't believe in him at first. In fact, Luke leads us to believe from the book of Acts that it took a special revelation from Jesus to James himself to bring him around after his resurrection. So Jesus comes to his hometown. And he went to the synagogue, and Luke tells us that this is the Sabbath day that Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah. You remember that day. He opens up the scroll and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor." And after reading, Jesus hands back the scroll and he sits down and offends everybody there. Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is what caused the hometown folks to be astonished. It's what they took offense at. After all, just like his family, they knew Jesus from little on. Isn't he the little Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter's kid, who used to play up on the hill with the other boys? See how that easily works? Familiarity does indeed breed some level of contempt. They respond in our text, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get these things?" The townspeople were scandalized. The Greek word there almost sounds like the English, scandalizo. By Jesus' teaching, because he taught with such authority and wisdom and mighty works. You see, the rabbis typically taught, well, kind of like a first or second year pastor out in the ministry, where when they want to say something they're afraid might be a little controversial, they'll quote Luther. The rabbis would quote some other rabbi to prove that what they were saying was true rather than just state the facts from the Word of God. It wasn't just the townspeople, though, that are scandalized. Mark tells us in Mark 3, and when his family heard it, and that is that Jesus was teaching and he was surrounded by so many people that they wasn't even eating, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he's out of his mind. Mark 3:21. And John 7 tells us, for not even his brothers believed in him. Maybe some of you know how that feels. Maybe you've had family members, relatives, friends, who look at you kind of strange because you yourself are a confessing Christian. That you are possibly the only Christian of the group of Christians who believes that the Word of God is the Word of God. That the Scriptures are without error, inerrant, without blemish. And it's not joyful to be rejected by your own, by those you love and care for the most. Yet Jesus knows just how you feel. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him either. The writer of Hebrews tells us this is something that should comfort us because, Hebrews says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. For his family, it seems, to have come to faith, it had taken the resurrection to wake them up from their spiritual slumber. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. You see, that's why we preach Christ crucified and risen like Paul each week. For it is the undeniable death and resurrection of Jesus that changes hearts and minds. Not stories about my hobbies, my vacations, or what sporting teams I root for. Think about it. If even the brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus could doubt him, if in fact Jesus' whole family thought he was out of his mind, and yet later they came to saving faith, so can you. So can your brothers and sisters, your parents and grandparents, your spouse and even your friends. And this is good news for us all. Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to take away all the sins of the world, even the thought, words, and deeds that we confess today and that we'll commit tomorrow. This is, after all, why Jesus came to be our Savior, to die our death, to defeat sin, death, and the devil for us. Therefore, Paul, the former Christian hunter, standing over the first martyr of the Christian church after the resurrection of Jesus and watching the coats as they stone him to death, is able to come to faith, be forgiven of his sins, and say with such wonderful words for our ears, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. But I have received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. 1 Timothy 1. You see, this is a little secret that frustrates people who are pietists. Jesus isn't worried about your past. He holds no grudges. He forgives freely. So be of good cheer, for God can use even you, just as he can use even me, to accomplish his purposes. Look at James's brother. He doesn't just come to faith. He becomes, with Peter and John, one of the three pillars of the Christian church at Jerusalem, staying even when Peter must leave. You see, there was a problem recorded for us in Acts chapter 12. James, the brother of John, a different James, had been put to death by Herod Antipas. And he saw that the Jews, well, appreciated that work. And so he had Peter arrested immediately, and Peter setting in jail, under guard. Two guards, to be exact. And yet God sends an angel to deliver Peter from this prison. And as Peter is escaping in this miraculous deliverance from God, he says, "Tell James. Tell James what has happened." In fact, two of our epistles in our New Testament are written by brothers of Jesus who weren't even his disciples, James and Jude, which is just a shortened, anglicized form of Judas. We see at the Jerusalem Council, as we read in our Acts text, that it is James being the final voice of the council in the discussion of the work to the Gentiles and the demands of the Judaizers. It appears that James is the first bishop of Jerusalem and not Peter, contrary to what many historians have tried to lead us to believe. It is James who clearly teaches us that faith without works is dead. And that phrase drove Martin Luther nuts at first. He couldn't stand it. He thought that James' epistle should be just removed out of the scriptures. It didn't belong because it taught differently than Paul. It taught different than justification by grace through faith. But James isn't teaching differently than justification by grace through faith, but rather explaining the difference between merely knowing or head knowledge of the work of Jesus for your salvation, stating that even the demons know this and shudder, yet faith without works is no faith at all. Faith and repentance must, by their nature, bring forth the fruits of faith, that is, love of God and love of your neighbor. On this, neither James nor Paul would disagree. Per Josephus, the early Jewish historian, he tells us that James, also known as James the Just, was martyred for the faith by being stoned to death by the high priest and the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem in 62 AD. Josephus even went so far as to say that the destruction of Jerusalem that happened in 70 AD, that had been prophesied by Jesus earlier, is a result of God's judgment for the wrongful death of James. So James lives and dies as he had confessed. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. But you see, James' death and the long train of martyrs' death, even your death and my death, mean absolutely nothing apart from God-given faith in Jesus, in his substitutionary death and resurrection. However, because of Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil, we need not fear death, nor anything else in this life, not even the elections that are about to come in a couple of weeks. For you today have heard the word of God. You today live in your baptism as you are baptized in the Christ's death and resurrection. You are absolved by Christ Jesus and even fed the food of salvation, Christ's own body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Know in faith in Jesus, we are offered peace in this truly chaotic world in which we live. And then may we learn. May we learn from the confession of James. Whose joy was pointing people to his brother, to Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, his Savior and our Savior. So I conclude with the words of St. James of Jerusalem, brother of Jesus and martyr. James, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let all steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.